Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work.
Hey, everybody. This is Harvey Sluggo Wasserman back for the 105th, count of 105 grassroots, Green Grassroots Emergency Election Protection Coalition Zoom call. We have 50 people with us to start. This will be rebroadcast on the Progressive Radio Network on Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern time. We're joined with the great Dennis Bernstein is with us from KPFA in Berkeley. We have a packed agenda, as always. We're going to start with Jeff Young, a candidate for office, a former clam. Well, actually, once you're a member of the Clamshell Alliance, you're always a clam. And that, of course, the Clamshell Alliance was a major group fighting the Seabrook nuclear plant. So we're going to start with Jeff in Kentucky. Then we're going to get into a very a short announcement on an upcoming I guess it's a conference call of sorts on Diablo Canyon being conducted by the state of California. It's this coming Friday, extremely important. And then we are going to set a template. We're going to create a document, a video document designed to inform and guide all grassroots organizing in the 2022 election. We want people to know precisely and exactly how to do grassroots organizing. We want to present this 20 to 30 minute video that will result to grassroots organizers and campaign managers all across the United States, because these, of course, are elections in 22 that will depend on grassroots organizing and less on the kinds of multi-million dollar videos that we've been seeing from both major parties. Ray McClendon has joined us. He's gonna be a major part of it with Andrea Miller. And then Joel Siegel will introduce us to a couple more major participants, and the great Steve Caruso will cut this up and make it into a video document that we can spread nationwide. We have been joined by Linda Seeley. She'll give us that update on Diablo Canyon. When that is done, we're gonna talk briefly about a couple of astounding constitutional developments. The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, has decided that he has the power to basically fire an elected judge in Florida. This is an interesting precedent. And we're going to talk with that with Wendy Lederman and others in Florida. We also have gerrymandering going on. There's a very important chart produced by the New York Times today showing the states where US Supreme Court has allowed extreme gerrymandering that could in fact decide the control of the US House of Representatives through the 22 election. I also want to talk about the Moore Amendment and the attempt to turn over control of the presidential election to these gerrymandered legislatures. And then probably about 45 minutes to an hour from now, we are going to get into the deep weeds on the nuclear aspects, the nuclear power aspects of the IRA, the new Manchin Biden bill that has just passed, which I consider, by the way, one of the most consequential pieces of legislation in about 50 years. If you except for the ACA, this is one of the most sweeping, comprehensive, and important pieces of legislation to pass the US Congress. So, at least since the 1970s. So, okay, obviously we have a full agenda. And as you can see in the background, once everything is done, I will be jumping in the ocean and you are all welcome to join me. Let's start now. Jeff Young in Kentucky, very quickly, if you'll introduce yourself and just tell us real quickly what your campaign is about. Then we'll go to I'm in the COE in California, and then we'll start our definitive document on grassroots organization. Jeff, good to see you. I'm glad you're out of no longer under arrest by the New Hampshire National Guard. And if you'll tell us, please, the nature of your campaign, that would be great.
Thank you. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you today. My name is Jeff Young, and unlike my Republican opponent, Andy Barr, I will never vote to send weapons to Nazis. That was my campaign promise slogan during the primary. I won my primary in Kentucky in the 6th Congressional District on May 17th. And you never know how you win something, but pointing out that Andy Barr has known about federal government weapons being sent to Nazis in Ukraine since 2015, that may have earned me the victory.
Okay, thank you very much. And Jeff, can you, I assume you continue your advocacy for safe energy that you came from with the Clamshell Alliance, and I'm sure you're a supporter of women's rights to choose as well.
Definitely.
So lots of luck in Kentucky. I hope your district was not inundated with the flooding there, which looks really horrifying.
No, it was toward the east.
Okay. Well, good to see you again, Jeff. I'm sure you're still surrounded.
Yeah, can I just give you all my website?
Put your website and your links
in the chat.
And you are the Democratic nominee for the U.S. Congress in the 6th District of Kentucky. So good luck to you. And I hope you'll stay tuned for the tutorial on grassroots organizing that we consider so important. Thank you very much, Jeff. Good to meet you. Good to see you again. And I will keep the faith here. For those who are interested, the Clamshell Alliance was active in the late 1970s. So like me, Jeff is clearly no spring chicken. All right, Linda Seeley, are you with us? Linda Seeley.
I am. Hi, Harvey.
I know you well. You are a spring chicken.
Will you
tell us, please, we're going to have a segment later in the gathering about what's the nuclear aspects of the of this bill. I do want to say, and this I do want to mention this up front, we will get to it. Something unprecedented is happening right now, and I mean unprecedented in human history. I do have a letter about it, which will be printed in the New York Times print edition tomorrow, and is on their web edition today, about the fact that this has never happened in world history. The Russians have taken control of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant in Ukraine, which has 6 reactors. God help us. It's the biggest, this is my letter in the New York Times. It is the biggest nuclear power plant in Europe. And they are using this nuclear power plant as an artillery site. They have put artillery next to the nuclear power plants and are shooting artillery shells into civilian areas from a nuclear power site. Meaning that if the Ukrainians try to take out this artillery, they could very easily blow up one of these nuclear power plants, or all 6 of them, for God's sakes. Which would cause a nuclear disaster way worse than Chernobyl. I mean, it's a staggering development. So we will get to this later. It is so important. I wanted to put it up front. Now, Linda, you are involved with the Mothers for Peace for the last God knows how many years, and there's a major hearing in California on Friday. Steve, if you can post the link to that, that would be great. And Linda, if you'd just give us a minute on how people can link in and how important it is. Go ahead, Linda Seeley.
I am. I'm here. Oh, shoot. Wait. No. Okay.
You or me?
That was me, okay. But I turned it off. This is unprecedented. As you may, I'll give you a short history, very brief. Diablo Canyon, two units, was scheduled to shut down, Unit 1 in 2024, Unit 2 in 2025. And now Gavin Newsom, who's running for president, and this is the reason this whole thing is happening, by the way, has decided that he wants to keep Diablo Canyon running past its license expiration date. They have not said how long they want to keep it running. And in 2016, when the joint agreement to shut Diablo Canyon was signed by Friends of the Earth, the NRDC, the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, Environment California, the IBEW, the California Public Utilities Commission, and the governor, this was a deal that was made so that they could transit. It was that, like, the lauded nuclear plant closure, the one that didn't close down because of an accident, which all of them do close down because there's some kind of small or large accident. And so it was the model for how you sensibly shut down a nuclear power plant. That's completely upended right now. And the governor is putting tremendous pressure on the state legislature and the agencies involved. In fact, they passed a law in the end of the last session to bypass all environmental scrutiny for this nuclear power plant. Including CEQA, which is California Environmental Quality Act, and all sorts of other things. Okay, now, this Friday, there is a meeting not in San Luis Obispo, it's a Zoom entirely meeting where people can come and register their opinion about whether or not we need Diablo Canyon to prevent climate change, which is a complete idiocy. It's okay. From 47. Oh, I'm sorry, Harvey. What?
No, go ahead. So here's the link. It's up there. And you are asking people to call in and to make sure that this is from 4 to 7 Pacific time, which would be 7 to 10 Eastern time on Friday. Is that correct?
Right. That's correct. And okay. If you cannot do that, there is a place right here on the screen. You see a little thing that says written comments. Please make written comments. We have suggestions for what you can say. It's very important, this meeting. It will make a huge difference. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. I put you up front because I know we will have a detailed discussion on the nuclear aspects of the Manchin-Biden bill, the IRA, later in the call. But we wanted to get you in early because I know you have another meeting. So. Yes. Thank you very much, Linda. Keep up your great work, and we will get back to that later on in the Zoom.
Ruth Strauss has a question.
Very quickly, Ruth.
It is quickly. Thank you. I didn't go to Evelyn Woods Reading School. Can you announce again how we can, that was up just a flash. Can you announce again how to get to the hearing or put it in the chat?
I will put a link in the chat, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, we'll come back to this later in the call, and we will repost that link, okay? Thank you, Linda. Okay, now we're gonna move ahead. We have 71 people with us, and we are gonna go to the main business of today. This is to produce a tutorial on grassroots organizing, nuts and bolts, no rhetoric. This is just really how you do it. We have two of the greatest, most successful grassroots organizers in electoral history, Ray McClendon, now the state director of the political director of the Georgia NAACP, and Andrea Miller from the Center for Common Ground. The bottom line is this, we have been arguing for years that the Democratic Party has been wasting hundreds of millions of dollars, both parties, really, but on TV advertising, whereas the way to make real social change and to really win elections in the long term, and Steve Bannon on the Republican side certainly seems to have gotten this message that we need to have the basis of grassroots organizing and to do it effectively, as was done in 2021, against all odds. And as a historian for 50 years, this is a sentence I never thought I would say, but on the basis of grassroots organizing, the state of Georgia in a single election put a Black and a Jewish candidate into the one of each into the United States Senate, something you would never imagine possible in the state of Georgia, but it was done. And two of the people most responsible for that are Ray McClendon and Andrea Miller. And the purpose of this exercise is for them to lay down on tape, and we will provide supporting documents for people to do grassroots organizing, especially leading into the 2022 election. So this is going to be basically a how-to session. Ray McClendon, there are 71 people with us. If you want to take it away, please, and then we'll turn it over to Andrea. Both of you are more than welcome to put stuff up on the screen as we proceed. So go ahead, Ray.
Okay, thanks so much, Harvey. I appreciate it. Thank you for having us, giving us this opportunity today. And I'm going to let Andrea go ahead and start off today with the overview and slide presentation. And then I will come in after that and make some additional comments. But she is carrying the main part of the presentation today. So I'll take it to Andrea.
Yes. And when Andrea and you are done, we'll turn it over also to Tatanka Bricka, who's waiting in California with his own experiences, and then to Joel Siegel. But go ahead, please, Andrea Miller.
Ray, thank you very much. Harvey, all guests that are part of this call, thank you, thank you, thank you. What I'm going to walk you through is the past is really, really great, but we are very, very concerned about the future upcoming election. So I'm going to be walking you through what we are doing in Georgia 2022. So many of you are aware of the Georgia Way, where what we put together under Ray's leadership was a very collaborative approach that brings trusted community leaders together, and we coordinated our work around the state. So what Ray was doing in 2020, in 2022, Center for Common Ground is doing in very, very small arenas, very rural, in places where people don't vote. We've gone very, very local. So Team Unity, which Ray put together, is the social and the political action activists. Everybody's heard of the Divine Nine. Those are the nine Black, historical Black fraternities and sororities. NAACP branch is in 2020, there were 20. In 2022, there are now 58. Wow. The Prince Hall Masons, Black Voters Matter, many, many, many other organizations. We all have the same interest at heart. We come together. We want to engage our voters. We want to educate our voters. And we want to make certain that they understand when, how, where they can vote. And we want to make sure they can get there. So we are very intentional that we have a common strategy that we are all literally singing from, not only the same book, but literally on the same piece of music. And I know when you say that about progressives, many people are going to say, didn't really know that was possible, but we made it happen.
So what I'm going to be showing you today is, and I'm going to show you some of the things very, very quickly, is we're going to be looking at how you execute a mobilization plan that literally is designed to turn out not tens of thousands of voters, but hopefully 100,000 voters. So let's take a look at what Georgia looks like by the numbers. There are 6,632,028 registered voters in Georgia. Nearly 2.1 million of them are Black, 270,000 are Hispanic, 200,000 are AANH, Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, 3.8 million are Caucasian, and 26,000 are Native Americans. So when we add the Black Indigenous people of color together, Georgia is 39% registered BIPOC voters. So let me go through that again. This is not census numbers of people living in Georgia. These are people where if they held the election tomorrow, they would be able to go and vote in it. So in 2020, we sent 3.5 million postcards into Georgia for voter registration and GOTV. We made nearly 600,000 phone calls for GOTV in the general, and also we worked the runoff. And we sent 741,000 text messages for GOTV and the runoff. Now, this is what we are focusing on in 2022. Everything is about being strategic. So when we look at 2020, and I've got all these things sitting on top, let me move them. All right. When we look at there, these are the voters that we have in Georgia, and these are the voters who voted in 2020. 2020 was a banner election year. 65% of the Black voters turned out, 56% of Hispanic voters, 67% of AAPI, and 54% of Native Americans. Now, when we look at 2018, the last midterm, the numbers are almost exactly the same, except these are people who did not participate. So these are the voters that we will be going after in 2018. So as I said, we are very, very strategic. What's on the ballot? One Senate race, 14 House races, the governor, the lieutenant governor, attorney general, secretary of state, superintendent of public instruction, agriculture commissioner, public service commissioner. Richard Rose is here. He's got some really amazing news about the public service commissioner, who's responsible for utility rates, labor and insurance commissioner, Georgia's entire state house, their entire state senate, 4 Supreme Court seats, and 8 appellate judges. Now, when we look at our target counties, all regions of Georgia are represented. We have counties in northern Georgia, the Atlanta region, middle Georgia, western Georgia, southern Georgia. 77% of the Black population lives outside Atlanta. So for all those candidates who believed they could win a statewide race by just running in Atlanta. The numbers say that is just not possible. So as you can see from our planning, we are working all of Georgia. We're not going to go through this, but again, in alphabetical order, here are all of the counties where we will be targeting these counties. So we are going to be reaching out to 1.5 million Black voters who did not vote in 2018. At Center for Common Ground, our democracy centers are very localized, very much like the NAACP county branches. We're going to send 1.5 million postcards to voters. We will ramp up and do 1 million text messages, and we're going to make at least 200,000 phone calls. Now, I've referenced democracy centers. We've got one in Hawkinsville, Georgia. We've got one in Cobb County, and we've got another one in Savannah. The model that we are using is that we work with voters. We identify what are the pain points in the community, and then we develop palm cards, written materials that reflect exactly what the residents of these communities told us they were interested in. So when we talk to them about voting, we are reminding them about their very local issues. Basically, our whole idea is to turn infrequent voters into voting rights activists, because now they know what they are voting for and what they want to change in their communities. I'm going to skip this. We just kind of walked through a very interesting circumstance that a lot of people may not have noticed. We have a record number of Black candidates running for U.S. Senate in the South. In Georgia, we have Warnock, and I'm not even going to say the other name. On August 23rd is the Florida primary. Val Demings is likely going to get that race. In Alabama, we have Reverend Will Boyd. North Carolina, Justice Sherry Beasley. In Louisiana, Gary Chambers is likely to be the candidate. And in South Carolina, again, there will be two Black candidates on the ballot, Crystal Matthews and Tim Scott. Now, what I'm going to do is stop sharing that, and I'm going to move you to some heavy duty. This is what is in our plan. We are going to make sure that people will be able to make it to the polls. Having voters willing to get there is great, but if they're older voters, they no longer drive, don't own an automobile, or again, maybe it's because they're low income, we've got a plan to make sure that they will be able to make it to wherever it is that they want to go or where they need to go to vote. We also have a plan. What are all of our organizations that we're working with? How are they going to mobilize and when? So here are some of the activities. Postcard writing into Georgia begins August 12th. Phone bank starts September 15th. We're going to be running door knock canvases. Texting will begin August 1. They're going to be recruiting poll workers and promoting Ride to the Poll. Our organizations will be able to sign up and tell us what activity they want to do. And then they will be able to also tell us where they intend and are willing to do it. Now, let me just pop right back here. And we also have turnout plans where we have gone through our target counties and we have figured out where are the counties where we are very, very concerned with, we really are going to have to boost turnout. Now, I come out of doing turnout for Black voters in the 1960s, where I had two uncles who were aldermen in the Daily Machine. What I know about voter turnout is turnout is something that occurs at the precinct level. So when you look at our documents, you can see we have planned this out literally on a precinct by precinct basis. Now, events. All of our organizations host events. We have built a statewide calendar where individual organizations will be able to post their own events. The events will show up on the calendar. They will be mapped so that we will be able to know where are there events where we need to turn out our people. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Ray.
Okay, thanks so much. And that's a great overview. And I want to talk about the political aspect for just a minute. We just had a major bill that was passed. And everyone knows that the reason that bill passed was because of this very work that was done in 2020 and January 5th, 2021, to get those two senators there to create a 50-50 Senate so that the incoming Vice President Kamala Harris could break that tie. So we have to give credit to all of the efforts of these types of groups in Georgia in 2020 and 21 that made the Inflation Reduction Act possible and many other things. So that's why the work that we're doing is so critical, and that's why we need the continued support of groups like this, and thanks to Harvey for all that you're doing. We are ramping up now. This plan will be implemented over the course of the next couple of weeks, and we will be taking it into the fall. Now, I want to take a couple of minutes here to introduce Richard Rose. He is the one who invited me to join him in this work as president of the Atlanta chapter of the NAACP. He's a numbers guy. He was the one that came up initially with the 17 counties representing 77% of the work of the Black voters. And now we're up to 58 counties. And not only is he a numbers guy, but he's a visionary for what the work means to people of color across the state of Georgia and indeed the Southeast. He was a named plaintiff in the Public Service Commission suit. That was a great victory that we just had on Friday. And I wanted Harvey for him to take a moment to share that with you, because this is the reason that the work that we're talking about here is so important, because it helps us to be in a position for this kind of activity to occur, where we're on the cutting edge on major cases that'll make a difference across the board. So with that, Richard Rose.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's great to be with you. As Ray mentioned, we had a decision in the case where we challenged the way Georgia elects public service commissioners. There are five public service commissioners in Georgia, each with 6-year terms, and they have to reside in one of five districts, but the entire state has voted on them. We filed this suit in July of 2020. I started working on it in 2019. And finally went, had the trial on the last week in June of this year. And we got a decision on Friday, which stops, takes those two, there were two seats on the ballot, one for a full 6-year term, the other one for the unexpired term. And both of those are now off the ballot, unless the appeals court overturns that. We don't think they have grounds, but you know, we, that's part of this work. But as they mentioned, you know, without active voter constituency, a lot the electorate, all of these offices, we have to challenge them, and we can only challenge them once we take away the restrictions. But it boils down to getting voters to the poll. As Ray and Andrew talked about, you know, we looked at where the voters are. You know, television commercials talk about how many people saw it and so forth. But if they're the same people, it doesn't help us with voter turnout. And so we'll continue to do that. We will keep posted. As Ray said, it's Rose versus Raffensperger. If you want to follow the news, and you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We'll be posting as well for NACP Atlanta. But we're happy to have that victory.
Richard, that's great news. Thank you, Andrea, Ray, and Richard. I want to underscore what we're doing here is we're making a document that people can use. There's a brilliant and very compelling exposition from Andrea. Andrea will post, of course. Please, Andrea, your chat, your contacts in the chat, and Ray and Richard as well. What we are doing now with the group is we are compiling a national list of grassroots groups that are doing grassroots organizing leading into the 2022 election. And Wendy Lederman, who's on the call and will post her contacts in the chat, is now in charge of compiling a comprehensive list of all the groups in the country that are doing this kind of grassroots organizing or who want to do it. For example, there was a group in Kansas that very few of us knew about, a grassroots group that was, which was guided to me or pointed out to me by John Steiner, that was very much a part of the victory of the pro-choice groups in Kansas. And this was a grassroots group outside the Democratic Party. And there are groups like this, for example, in Michigan, where we have a statewide referendum, grassroots groups there gathered 750,000 signatures to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot in Michigan, again, outside the Democratic Party. So this is the kind of organizing that Andrea has pioneered with Ray and with Richard in the crucial state of Georgia, where we again have a crucial Senate race and the other races you saw. The Public Utilities Commission race is also critical. And thank you, Richard, for telling us about this crucial court victory. I want to give it now to Tatanka Bricka in California. Tatanka has been working with Romero Institute and other groups on serious grassroots organizing in California. Tatanka, if you could build on what's just gone forward, we greatly appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Harvey. What Ray and Andrea are saying, and the gentleman that Ray also introduced,
Richard Rose.
Those, yes, thank you. Those principles are the same ones that Cesar Chavez Dolores Huerta learned from Fred Ross Community Service Organization, implemented to form the United Farm Workers Union, and which Dolores is using in her Dolores Huerta Foundation, organizing in the Central Valley and parts of Los Angeles County. It's developing the local leadership, which is there. It's a year-round program focused around the needs of the people, around food, around healthcare, around education. And it really starts on a one-to-one. They use house meeting technique is part of the bread and butter of this. A person gets involved individually, invites friends to a home, builds up to a larger community meeting, and then always goes back down to the small. They have people who find their voice in this. And so they're active all year round. So when elections come around, of course, it's part of your community. It's a greater family event. And so they have Vecinos Unidos, they have neighborhood united groups, 13 of them throughout the Central Valley. And they are working constantly. They have events, they utilize music, and they're involved with the census, all this stuff that affects people. So then when the elections come around and the GOTV comes around, they know what those local issues are. And it is very local. As you say, you need to do this precinct by precinct. One precinct may be most interested in healthcare, and another precinct very nearby may be most interested in police violence. You know, it just depends. So you have to know the people, you get the people involved. And this is the work of the Dolores Huerta Foundation. Dolores organized me in 1969, and I was the coordinator of UFW in the Bay Area from the 69 to 73 with the grape, lettuce, and wine boycotts, and went to Europe for Cesar. I used the same technique. I was the first organizer for Amnesty International, then for congressional campaigns and solar campaigns, worked with Ben and Jerry. It's the same principle my whole life. So I'm very excited about this technique. And the fact that you're using this forum to get people involved.
So, Tatanka, if you will put down on paper or on, you know, whatever we call electronic documents these days, exactly your modus operandi and how it fits in with what Andrea and Ray and Richard have laid out here, we want to make it as clear and as concise as we possibly can for people going into grassroots organizing, exactly what works and what we need to do. This is Wendy Lederman here in the middle. Wendy, if you'll raise your hand. Wendy is compiling the list of grassroots organizations that will all have something to contribute to this. Ruth Strauss has raised your hand. Ruth, your comments are always welcome. If we can go to you just after these next two presentations, that would be great. We have with us Joel Siegel, master organizer from John Conyers' office for many decades. And Joel, you will introduce us to the next two speakers, then we'll open it up for a general discussion. Go ahead, Joel, please.
Yeah, hi. I'm so glad that Wendy's working on this project, because Wendy is an amazing organizer and very cool to work with. But I also wanted to say that, so Representative John Conyers was elected 40 years in a row because of relational organizing. So that this brilliant model that is, you know, emanating from Georgia is what worked in Detroit for 40 years for John Conyers. And I had the great pleasure of working for Marion Barry, the mayor of Washington, D.C., who also had a relational organizing machine, which is why he got elected over and over again, both as mayor and as on the city council. You know, we all know about Mayor Daley, not my favorite person on the planet, but Andrew knows a lot about Mayor Daley because she grew up in Chicago. She understands what they used to call the machine. So what's happening in North Carolina is we have brought in GOTV leaders, leaders from ethnic communities, leaders from the Black community, elected officials, and we're going to replicate the Georgia miracle in North Carolina. And Andrea and Ray are our senior consultants. So we're just gonna replicate what they just went over with all of us in Georgia, which is, it's truly revolutionary. And then Robert Wilson, the former Undersecretary of State, will be the person who I'll be introducing in a second. And then we do have a special guest, Larry Hall, former North Carolina General Assembly Minority Leader, who will be working with us as well, a very dear friend of Robert. I don't think he can come on until 6:30, but we need to bring him on because he's one of the most influential and powerful, progressive leaders in this state, and will probably, good chance he'll be our governor in a few years. So we want to have our future governor on this broadcast. But anyway, Robert, you want to talk about, you know, what we're trying to do with Representative Supreme Court Justice Beasley and relational organizing in North Carolina. I don't think, is Willie Fleming with us? I don't think so. Go ahead, Robert, Brother Robert, please.
Well, Joel and Harvey, thank you so very much for having me.
Oh, you're on mute.
Did you get muted?
He's been muted.
If you can unmute.
Robert, you need to unmute.
Okay.
Hey, there you go. Right. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead, please. We want explicitly what you're doing in North Carolina, if you can. Robert, we'd great to hear it.
Okay. Well, what we're doing now is we are putting together a group of people outside of the norm, outside of the normal Democratic Party. And we're bringing them all together in primarily the urban areas, because we looked at the election results for the last couple of years and they have been close. But we noticed that in urban areas, if we got anywhere from 10 to 15% more turnout in urban areas, then we could elect the candidates that we wanted. So it is critical at this point in time that we are trying to make sure that we can bring people to the table that did not traditionally get touched by individuals that were candidates that were running. A prime example of that would be that we all believe that all politics are local, and the Georgia miracle is just that, a miracle that needs to be replicated, not just in North Carolina, but all across the place. But again, the problem that we have is people tend to do the same thing and then they end up getting the same results. We have decided that we're going to go outside of the norm and try to bring different groups together on our own. And by doing that, we think we can get somewhere between 10 to 15% more turnout than has traditionally been done. And in order to do that, we feel like we have the folks that are going to be with us in terms of our group that we can get that done.
Great. So, Robert, thank you for that. So, basically, you're going to be working with Andrea, Ray, Richard Rose, and Joel Siegel, Tatanka. What we want to have is a critical mass of people doing grassroots organizing. For those of you who don't know, by the way, GOTV is Get Out the Vote. It's got nothing to do with any kind of television. And Tatanka will be bringing in the great wisdom of Dolores Huerta and the California organizing that's been so successful. And Wendy Lederman will be compiling all the contacts and will be sending all the documents around. And we're hoping that other grassroots groups around the country will be sending in their contributions in that way. On August 29th, 3 weeks from today, we're gonna have a national congress of grassroots organizing, where all the people around the country, independent of either party, this is technically nonpartisan, will be talking about how to win elections for progressive candidates outside the traditional TV-oriented multi-million dollar operations that don't touch people at the grassroots. And that we are hoping to have Keith Ellison, the Attorney General of Minnesota, be our keynote speaker in that. But on August 29th, 3 weeks from today, Wendy will have a major list. We will be going over the genius organizing of Andrea Miller and Ray McClendon that turned the nation. As Ray pointed out, this IRA bill that just passed would never have passed had it not been for grassroots organizing in Georgia in 2020-21. And if you want to see what happens when you don't do grassroots organizing, look what happened in Virginia in 2021. Joel Siegel, go ahead.
Yeah, one thing that I wanted to add is what I've learned from Ray and Andrea was the two ingredients for getting progressives elected to office. One is relational organizing, but the other is the candidate has to appeal to the voters. So one of the things that we're going to do in 3 weeks that I'm organizing with Robert will be a town hall meeting with ethnic communities in Mecklenburg County. And there will be a lot of give and take and a lot of questions we're going to send to Supreme Court Justice Beasley to let her know exactly like what is it that the voters want in ethnic communities in Charlotte. Because a lot of the people in the ethnic communities were saying, like from the East Indian community, why should we vote for Beasley or anyone else? What have they done for us? And what we're trying to say is, in a very respectful way, is that elected officials are not mind readers. They don't have any, like, they don't have telepathy. They cannot read minds. So we have to tell them what it is that we want them to run on. And we actually have been very successful already because of Robert's work of changing some of her TV commercials. So you can do relational organizing, but the candidate's got to be exciting. Warnoff and Ossoff, sorry, ran to the left of Biden. They were progressives. So, and then secondly, we're bringing in HBCUs. We're bringing in historically Black colleges, which are all over North Carolina. And we've got fantastic people that we're bringing in. And what we're finding is the reception to this idea is off the chain. And we had talked about a Freedom Summer several months ago, and we didn't talk much about it, but we've been organizing the whole time, but doing it kind of quietly. And the electoral system is very interesting because just as you have siloed nonprofit organizations and siloed issue areas, there's also siloed community organizing. We're trying to break all that by forming a steering committee of the willing, so to speak, who want to do the Georgia model, but we've decided to do it through 2024. So we would like for, we want to export the Georgia model and the North Carolina model to what Ray calls the Southern Crescent states. But anyway, that's pretty much it. Thanks.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, Joel. Tatanka Bricka?
Yeah, really, really quickly, I did not talk about Romero Institute and the Dolores Huerta Foundation are working on a three-year plan, 2022-23-24, with a whole series of bills designed to get California to carbon zero by 2030. They also are the origin of the Lakota People's Law Project. And what's happening in South Dakota for the first time ever is a massive statewide by the Lakota people, door-to-door campaign, relational organizing of the entire state. Their focus is really this time on themselves. The threats are so dire from Kristi Noem, from Indian Child Welfare, from the fact that they've won every victory at Standing Rock and the oil keeps going, et cetera, et cetera. So they're organizing their state. So I'll be reporting on that later with people from LPLP, perhaps with Chase Iron Eyes and or Madonna Thunderhook.
Well, thank you so much for that. Please send all documents, anything relevant, any contacts, any reports on your organizing to Wendy Lederman. She posted her link in the chat there. And we really want to, in 3 weeks, prior to Labor Day, because Labor Day is when the big push is. We will not be meeting on Labor Day because it's a Sunday, and many people go into labor over that weekend. So, sorry. So, we want to have by September a definitive model, a definitive guide that Andrea Miller has and Ray have been so instrumental in implementing that can make 2022 a grassroots election. And I want to suggest that having spent much of my life in Ohio, that I know, Andrew, you limit much of your work to states where there's a certain percentage of African Americans. I would like to kind of ask you to consider, for example, a state like Ohio, where the does not meet your criteria, but the cities of Cleveland, Toledo, Akron, Dayton, Youngstown, Columbus, and Cincinnati do come close to that. And if we need people in states like Ohio and Pennsylvania, to be doing grassroots organizing, certainly in your urban areas. God knows that a change in the Senate race in Ohio, for example, would have gargantuan impact. So it's just something also to consider in terms of discrete areas. So you're working in Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus, and Dayton. That's really great. Places like Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, also, we'll see how it goes. But the important thing is, by going to grassroots organizing, we change not only the nature of the elections, but the nature of the country. Once again, we're seeing, and I hate to raise this, but this is critical, the Democratic Party has decided to support a number of outright fascist candidates in the assumption that they will win their primaries to the detriment of the Republican Party and then lose in the generals. And that was a philosophy that they used in 2016 with Donald Trump. And we all know how well that worked. And the reality is that the Democratic Party is taking money from progressives and using it to support candidates that stand for everything progressives don't stand for. So that's another reason why the public money, the money that people donate to campaigns, should be going to grassroots organizing. And the group will now, we do have a 501c3, and we will be accepting donations earmarked for various campaigns. But on the Get Out to Vote and other grassroots non-educational, nonpartisan organizing, but as a 501c3, we can accept such donations, and we will be working with that. Okay, we have 79 people on the call. Ruth Strauss, you have had a hand up. Your comments are always great, so please jump in at this time.
Thank you. Okay, Andrea and Ray, great presentations. Andrea, I remember when we were doing this for Ossoff and Warnock, you all didn't want people coming in to do door knocking from other states, but I'm assuming texting and phone banking from other states is okay, correct?
Yes, that is just fine, as well as driving people to the polls. We have a number of folks, I call them my fly drivers. Their activism is they fly in from Oregon, Washington State, pick up a car at the airport, and then for a couple of days, maybe a week, drive voters to the polls. Yes, that is just fine. That is great.
You better watch out, because if Kemp finds out about that, he'll have the state troopers out after all of you. But the other thing is, I just went to sign up for the phone banking and texting, and it asks you what counties you want to do it for. Now, can we leave that blank and you'll just do it?
Well, and again, that form is for organizations in Georgia. I'm going to drop some more links in the chat where that's for people. You can be outside and we don't narrow you down that much.
Okay.
So, So you're going to get a link in the chat for phone banks. And thank you so much, Ruth.
Okay,
thank you, Ruth, for that. Dennis Bernstein, a host of Flashpoints on KPFA, nationally syndicated on Pacifica.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.